You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Famer, and hopefully ready for another edition of Tony's Trivia Time. The one and only Tony Casillas, TC. What up?
Happy Tuesday, my man. Everything is well here in my neck of the woods. How about yours?
It's going well. It's all good. It's getting warmer, thankfully. I can't decide if I feel like the year is flying by or just moving at normal speed. How do you feel?
It's flying by.
You think
and
so?
I say this because of the perspective of as I get older. You know, you're still in your prime, but it seems to me that the one thing that that is generational to generations. You'll tell your kids. I told my kids. My parents told me, your parents told you, is that don't get in a hurry for time to get any older, because as soon as you have kids, it just flies by. So the answer to your question is yes. I can definitely relate to that, brother.
Yeah, well, it just we're in the middle of April now, and so we're almost a third of the way done with 2021. I was thinking about this. I don't ever really write. Like I don't write things. Like any message I need to send or whatever, it's like an email or Slack message or something on the computer. But when you're like a kid and you're writing a lot and you're in school or whatever, it takes forever to like get used to the new year, right? Like you're always accidentally writing the old year when you're writing dates and stuff. Are you past that yet? Are you still writing 20 at any time?
I made a cognizant decision to not do that. I would like to go back to 2015 or 2016. Definitely would like a mulligan for 2020, but that's unfortunately that's not going to happen. It has started off better, but yeah, I think that happens a lot. And especially if, does anybody use checks anymore? I mean, I use checks every once in a while. Date something. Yeah. I see, that's the different generation. I mean, there's some things that you have to, write checks on. And there's some companies
sure.
that are old school, believe it or not, more of the service industry, that they either take cash or take a check. And say, don't you have Venmo? I'm like, that's the older generation. Like, what's Venmo? I'm like, well, never mind. But, and I think the Venmo too, to me, there's no way that I can escape paying a wager, sending kids
for sure.
money to my kids. There's no way now an electronic deal. But yeah, when you said really, you're like, yeah, because I know you, when's the last time you wrote a check?
Man, I haven't written that many checks in my life, just generally. But
how many of this generation now, and I'm talking about the generation Xers or whatever we're going to call them now. How many kids actually know how to that have checks? And I'm saying as you get, I would say, over 21 and as you get into your more early professional years, how many actually in I know my kids' generation can actually write the correct amount number wise on a check? That's a great question.
That is a great question. And I think you would stump maybe like anybody under the age of 25. Right now, anybody who can't rent a car right now doesn't know how to write a check. I agree with
that's
that.
That's true.
But like, I mean,
how much is a stamp? That's another thing that really, when that happens to me, I don't know about you, but how much is postal service? I mean, can anyone tell me, can you tell me right now, RJ, how much does it cost to go and buy one?
I cannot. My wife is the one that the general, she buys the books whenever we buy it. I was thinking I don't know how we got here, but early on, but I was thinking about this. I drove past the movie theater in our town, and it's, you know, like growing up, I would go there. And I was thinking about this in the sense that, like, when I was like 13, 14 years old, my friends and I would go to the movies. And I was thinking, like, it is amazing that we were able to coordinate, you know, like, we're all going to be there like at 7 o'clock, whatever. And we were all able to talk to our parents or whoever to give us a ride. And like, it was all able, and like, we were all able to get there and find each other. And all of that happened without cell phones. And like, I'm not trying to like, be like, wow, like time has changed, whatever. But like, that's amazing to me, given that I hate this about myself. I can be late to a lot of things. And so like now with all of the tools and like levels of technology, I'm late, even though my 13-year-old self was so like on top of crap, like getting stuff organized.
Yeah, I know people that I tell them to get there 30 minutes before we're actually supposed to get there, so they'll actually get there on time. But you know, what you mentioned, I miss the movie theaters. That's one thing that I miss, Tuesday matinees. But that's enough of that. We got a lot of things to get into, including the draft coming up, including players wanting to pick their custom-made numbers, which to me, I think it's kind of reminded me. It kind of reminds me of, I don't know, it's almost like going like high schoolish, because all of a sudden we're like, okay, I want to pick my number out. I want to get number one. I'm going to get two. But anyway, that's something we're going to get into. I thought it was quite interesting when you brought that up today for our show.
Well, so last week when we recorded, we had a whole rundown. We were going to talk about the draft, but it was right after Jalen Smith had posted that he wanted to wear number 9. If the NFL, because this is still not official, but it seems like it's going to be, that the NFL is soon going to allow linebackers, running backs, wide receivers, defensive backs to wear numbers in the single digits. They're going to also loosen the rules for defensive linemen, but no single digits
there. Did I get my Pop Warner number I wore when I was in fifth and sixth grade?
Right. Now, I can totally get behind the fact that the dudes have attachments to certain numbers. They've worn certain numbers their whole lives, or they have emotional connections to them. Like, that all makes sense to me. And we really, you know, we really talked about Jalen wanting number 9 and kind of not being aware of, obviously, Tony Romo and things like that. But that was like the tip of the iceberg, dude. Last week was weird. I mean, Jalen Smith came out, wanted to wear number 9. Shortly after that, CeeDee Lamb came out and just kind of shared an edit of himself for number 2, which was his number as a Sooner.
And Amari Cooper wants to wear number 1, if I'm correct.
That's the only one that I'm okay with, personally. I hate this rule. Like, I told you last week, I like wide receivers in the 80s. I hate the fact that they even wear numbers in the teens now. But Amari wearing number 1 is the only one that, like, when I first saw that, I thought, man, that would look badass. That's the only one. And I think the Cowboys were just it got to a point where they were like having fun with it and just kind of trolling people. But I do think that we are going to see a lot of people across the NFL change. Peter King wrote last week that Jalen Ramsey really wants to wear number 8, which is what he wore at Florida State. And so, like, I can definitely see that. I think it's a way for, obviously, the NFL to make more money, right? Like, all the new Jalen Ramsey. Like, think about this. Think if you're a Rams fan for a second. They traded for Jalen Ramsey 2 years ago, so maybe you bought his jersey then. Then last year, they got new uniforms. So maybe you said, well, let me get a new Jalen Ramsey jersey, even though it's the same number, whatever. And now this year, he's going to change numbers. So maybe if you're a devoted Jalen Ramsey, Los Angeles Rams fan, it's possible that you might have needed to buy 3 different jerseys in 3 years because of all the changes that are happening. But I don't know. I mean, it's a weird time that we're living in that sense.
Well, here's what I thought about this. It's all about making money. Because now, all of a sudden, all those jerseys that all those players wore that will continue wearing the same number. And I don't think everyone's going to deflect. I think it's going to be more the skill players. And I don't know how it's going to wear. Even the quarterbacks, I don't know the quarterbacks really change. I would love to see a quarterback wear number 99. Wouldn't that be great to all of a sudden wear 99, a quarterback? Hey, that's a big fella, Warren Sapp's number, or Wayne Gretzky, the great one, or whatever. I'd have to think about that. But when you think about it, all of a sudden, if they pass this, where, as you mentioned, it looks like they will, all of a sudden people are going to have to go out and buy different jerseys. Totally. Because there's going to be an influx of all these different jersey numbers, and they're all going to be at the pro shop, and everyone's going to run out and want to buy the first number one Amari Cooper jersey. or if you have CeeDee Lamb, or if you mentioned Jalen Ramsey, people are going to go out and buy that. So all of a sudden there's going to be this influx of people buying more jerseys. So I think, while I think it's great for the players to go back to what they wore high school, college, and have this, this history of what the jersey they wore, whatever it may be, the NFL is going to monetize this, brother.
Oh, we're just talking jerseys, but think action figures, posters, the new, and this is something I've reached the point now with this where I truly don't understand.
NFL always has a motive, man. It's not
right.
It's always a motive.
I'm going to ask, have your kids gotten into the NFT stuff, the digital trading cards?
No, they haven't.
I have no clue how any of that works. But my point is that's a new thing too. That's another thing to make money off of.
You could basically use someone else's video or whatever you roll the highlight of a player. My son and I, it's so funny because I had all these cards. I'm talking about, I probably have 2,000 old cards up in my attic. And my son was home. We started looking at these cards to see if there's any, anything.
Cards that were yours?
Okay, so it would be like a pro set. Upper Deck produced 500 card set back in 1992 or 91 or 90. And they sent the player all the set of 500 cards of all the players that were in that particular year. So, which brought us back to what your point about what people are trading now. It was NFT.
Yeah, NFT.
Yeah, and it's basically videos, correct? Highlights.
They're digital cards, right?
Right, right. If you use that, you can make money off of. It's almost like owning a licensing for that. But I don't know. It's like the Bitcoin of trading cards.
I don't know. You just kind of glossed over something I find fascinating. So you're in the mid-90s. You're a badass, awesome NFL player, winning Super Bowls, whatever, joking about Leon Lett, doing all his stuff. And so they make trading cards of you, right? So you have like the Tony Casillas cards. But they also, they send you the set that you're in. So they give you hey, Tony, thanks for being one of our cards. Here are all of the cards that are in existence. That is so cool. Holy crap.
Well, what I'm going to do is we're just doing our podcast audio, but this is, I'm showing you the box of, can you see the
Holy
box?
Holy crap.
Of the,
that's yeah, awesome.
So it's an Upper Deck 19. I believe this is 92. It's the Upper Deck, and it has, you open it up and it has, you can see this, RJ.
Wow.
It has the whole edition of all the players. So if you pull them out, and these players, there's players that, I was looking for some rookie cards because that's the value of that. But so I need to go back in my attic. And unfortunately, I wish I was a little younger, because wouldn't it be great to go up there and have a Tom Brady card or maybe a Brett Favre rookie card or something like that? You watch all these different shows of people going up in their attic or buying something at a garage sale and paying $5 and it's worth $3,000.
Right.
So I know that's what he's doing, but I know we're getting off track, but I'm just saying this right here, the Upper Deck, what I just showed you, that was the NFT of the, I would say, and I think cards are coming back, but amazing how many of those damn cards I had in my attic that I've been sitting there for years.
I agree with you completely. We're about to get to the draft, but I talked about this on a different show on the network a few weeks ago. My parents are cleaning out their stuff too in the attic, whatever. And so this is another sign of getting older. You reach the point where your parents say, here's all your crap that we've been holding for you. So they said, here's all your crap, come get it. So I went and got it, and I've been going through it, bin by bin, whatever, on different weekends. And I found my old Pokemon cards from when I was a kid, right? People pronounce it differently, whatever. Anyway, so I tweeted about this, right? Oh, cool. Here are my Pokemon cards. Yeah. And now I got all these people that are dude, you got to sell this. And so I've been looking into it. So I'm pretty pumped to sell it, because this is a slight difference with Pokemon. Sports cards will never not be valuable. But apparently this is the 25-year anniversary of Pokemon. So it's just a nice time to find it. So look at us. We're just putting together the 750 card factory.
Attic dollars right there. That's what that's what I say. And I think, for me, man, I'm always don't want to get rid of stuff. I'm like a, not a hoarder, but I would hold on to things.
Oh, for sure.
And it's just amazing. Yeah, the cards, it's pretty cool. But, you know, I unfortunately, I'm still going to have to look for something with a lot of value.
Right.
We'll see.
Okay. So, Kyle Pitts, I don't know if you know this, Tony. He is the name that generates the most discourse among Cowboys fans. Obviously, he's an incredible tight end for the University of Florida. I'm obligated to say that Texas A&M beat Florida last year. No big deal. Incredible tight end. And it seems like most logic suggests that he is going to be gone by the time the Cowboys pick. However, it is the NFL draft. Anything can happen. And so whenever you mention this, there are people who are super for this in terms of being Dallas Cowboys fans. And there are people who are super against this. Jerry Jones, it was revealed last week. Chris Mortensen talked about Jerry's reportedly infatuated with Kyle Pitts. I don't know anybody who isn't. We're recording on Tuesday. On Monday, Kyle Pitts was on the Rich Eisen show, and he said that he has spoken with the Dallas Cowboys and he has spoken with Jerry Jones specifically. He noted that his family is from Philadelphia, so they're all Philadelphia Eagles fans. It'd be really funny, obviously, if he ended up as a member of the Dallas Cowboys. But there is not a prospect that generates more divisive opinions than Kyle Pitts. Where do you fall? Are you for this or against it if he falls to number 10? I don't think anybody wants to trade up, but if he fell to number 10.
Well, is it going to be the rendition of the 2020 draft when they drafted when CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, that's what it would have to be.
I think Atlanta wants to trade the pick with Miami, the number 4th pick, and there's going to be like the first 3 picks are going to be quarterbacks. And
right.
Look, I feel the same way. The dude is an athletic phenom. You watch him work out. He's big. Unfortunately, I get to see him in the Cotton Bowl when OU threw out of Florida because I don't think their whole team was setting out that game. But the guy's, without a doubt, he's one of the best athletes in the draft. And I think it's hard not to get excited about that. But I think that the sand pad, I don't think it's going to be something where they trade for him or anything like that. But – I think that he just needs to really consider what he already has and what he needs. And look,
you're talking about Jerry needs to consider this.
I'm talking about Jerry right. Jones. Yeah. Whenever they, when it comes to their pick, then he needs to is just stand pat on that and really just think about, well, this guy's a tremendous athlete. He's probably a can't miss prospect, but there's some other things I need to address. And if there is a quality defensive back or a quality defensive player that can really make an impact they've done our research, and that's what you got to do. Or maybe even trade the back. I don't know. I don't think Kyle Pitts is going to be – he's not going to be there, but it's worth talking about, and I think that that's what it has generated. It generated right. This infatuated Jerry Jones. It's very sensual for him when he sees a football sensual when he sees someone like Kyle Pitts. But I just think that if you look what happened last year and you look at what they need this year, a tight end that is really athletic is not what they need right now. And I mean, I go back and forth. I mean, if he's there, then you consider it. But I hope someone's there to just like hold on, you know, grab him like, dude, we need to look at our other options.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So here's where I fall on this. It's not their most pressing need, but it's also not a need, right? Because when you consider that, even if you do believe in Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz, just talking about the tight end position here, Blake Jarwin's coming off a torn ACL. No clue how that's going to go, obviously. Dalton Schultz, for all his contributions last year, isn't a contract year. We know the Cowboys don't like to give second contracts unless it's a, you know, cornerstone player. And Michael Gallup's in a contract year. So we're likely looking at a Cowboys team that a year from now doesn't have Michael Gallup, doesn't have Dalton Schultz. And so, you know, you put Kyle Pitts there and suddenly your offensive, you know, abilities aren't hindered when Michael Gallup leaves in free agency. So you do have that as justification, if you want to call it that. Of course, their needs are on the defensive side of the ball. I think the only defensive players that are worth taking with the 10th overall pick are the two corners, Patrick Surtain and J.C. Horn. You could also make an argument for offensive tackle, obviously being a need. And so that's where Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater are obviously the top two dudes there. So I think we can isolate this to those five guys, right? it's got to be one of those five players for the Cowboys. And there's a level of logic to support any of those directions they go in. I do think that Kyle Pitts is probably the best player. If you're putting odds on them to become Hall of Famers, Kyle Pitts has the best odds of those five players. That's just, you know, and part of it's the nature of the game now, whatever. But if the Cowboys walk away with any of those five players, it's a win. And so we could grade the quality of the win. And so obviously, you know, Kyle Pitts would be a certain type of win. I don't put, like, I wrote about it, this obviously, but I don't put a lot of stock into the fact that he's spoken to the Cowboys or to Jerry Jones. Cause I mean, like, it's the draft season, right? Like, he's talking to every team. He's one of the best players in the class. The Cowboys have a top 10 pick. It makes perfect sense for them to talk to him. You know what I mean? Like, it would be stupid of the Cowboys to not talk to him, but I do think it would be irresponsible of them if he was on the board to not really, really, really consider it.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I mean, you have to look it. Sometimes it's, unless it's a, you know, the quarterback position, that's a need position. You know, we look at the first three teams in the draft, they all need quarterbacks, and it looks there's going to be three probably quarterbacks going the first three picks, and then after that,
it's a question mark.
Yeah, and so while I don't like to, a lot of people say, well, you don't draft the position that you need. I'm like, well, yes, you do.
There's a level of it. Yeah. There's a level involved. It's not a factor.
Well, I agree. I disagree with that because I just know during the draft, I mean, there's different positions where there's a player that you're locked in on, and that's a neat position. It's a cornerback, whether it's an offensive lineman that you talked about, those are the knee positions are in line. And so whatever falls in place or players available, that's the player that you evaluate, that you think that you really can make you become a better team offensively, defensively. That's the target position. But I as far as looking at it, I mean, if the guy's there, which he's not going to be, I don't think that, that's not going to happen. I mean, it's good. And as you mentioned, all these teams interview players, the top prospects, they want to understand them. I mean, it's part of the protocol and what normalcy of what you do to evaluate people. And so, and it's good conversation. I mean, we're talking about it. Everybody talks about it nationally. How, you know, this is a, you know, crazy Jerry, or not crazy, but just crazy to think that that's what he needs to address. When you look at what happened, how bad they were on defense, that's where you got to really address your issues.
Right. I think in a perfect world, the best available player is your top need. That's a perfect world. Right. It doesn't always end up that way. Sometimes you say, well, the best overall player, like in CeeDee Lamb's case, is a wide receiver. And last year, that was a need for the Cowboys. It wasn't their top need, but it made sense, which is why they did it. And so Kyle Pitts would support that logic, but I get it. I get that people want to see a defensive player taken. And I think I really think the Cowboys are in a very, very prominent situation overall, because we know the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks, right? Jacksonville, New York, and San Francisco are all taking quarterbacks. It remains to be seen what will happen at number four with the team that they took you in the first round in Atlanta. Will they take a quarterback? Will they take Kyle Pitts? Will they trade out to a team that wants a fourth quarterback? But the more quarterbacks that go, the better. Or I can make that argument either way, because if all five quarterbacks go, if you want to call it that, if you're talking Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. If all five go, well, if there's only nine picks before the Cowboys pick, that means only four non-quarterbacks are being taken. But the other side of that coin is if a quarterback falls, then he's the last dude, right? Like, he's the last quarterback. So whether it's the Bears or it's somebody else that wants that quarterback, you're a spot that they could trade up to. Mel Kiper, Tony, I told you this before we started recording. I don't know if you had a chance to check this out, but on Tuesday morning, he released his latest mock draft, and in it, he has the Cowboys moving back. This might upset some people, but I think overall, this is a huge win. He has them moving back from 10 to 15 with the New England Patriots, who are jumping up to take Justin Fields, I believe it is.
Right.
Because I think the Niners took Mac Jones in this mock. But anyway, the New England Patriots come up. The Cowboys move back five spots. And at the time of this particular mock draft, Rashawn Slater's gone, I believe. But one of the tackles is still left. Patrick Surtain is still left. And J.C. Horn is still left. Kyle Pitts had gone long before the Cowboys were on the clock. But the point is, so if you're the Cowboys and you've got multiple players who are still on the board for you, it makes sense to trade back. And in the process, they picked up in this particular mock draft a 2022 first round pick, and they still took J.C. Horn with the 15th overall pick. A lot of people think J.C. is the top corner in the draft. Obviously, people believe Patrick Surtain is. But so in this exercise, the Cowboys picked up a starting cornerback and a future first round pick. I don't know how that wouldn't make everybody feel really happy on night one.
Only it's a tremendous value for them. And if you're only moving five spots and you're getting what you need, and that's a corner. And even at the whole notion of maybe getting an offensive tackle, because I think that sooner or later, they're going to have to look at that. This has got to be an offense where without Tyron Smith, which to me, and then you look at the, Leo Collins, those guys will be back this year. And it looks like that they'll hopefully be full speed at the beginning of the season, but you got to look at the future in that. But, for me, I think offensively, what do? You just paid a guy $40 million a year to be your franchise quarterback. You want to be able to protect him. So, but I think that that theory that Mel Kiper, his mock, and I love these mock drafts, and it seems to me sometimes they get blown up with some different decisions the teams make. But, that would be a good scenario for the Cowboys. I mean, the value that you have in your pick, and you only move back five spots, and you get to address something that you really need, and then you get a future first-round draft pick. I mean, I think a lot of people understand the business aspect of that, hopefully.
I agree, and the player that they take in this mock draft is J.C. Horn, and a lot of people love him. But, again, at the time they traded back, again, we're talking about Mel Kiper's mock specifically. Patrick Surtain was still on the board, although he wound up going to the Philadelphia Eagles, which would suck. And Rashawn Slater, the Northwestern tackle, still on the board, although he wound up going to the Los Angeles Chargers. So the point here is that if you walk away with any of those three players, whether it's Surtain, Slater, or Horn, it's still a win. Like, you're still getting Slater wouldn't be a day one starter, but he would be an investment in the future. Obviously, the offensive line, which is important given your investment in Dak Prescott and Tyron Smith and all that stuff. But if you walk away with any of those three dudes and a future first round pick, that would be awesome. I don't know how you wouldn't feel just like filled with joy about that. I don't know, you said you love the mock drafts, Tony. I don't know if you've been reading every single one, but most mock drafts have the Cowboys taking Patrick Surtain, the corner from Alabama.
That's who I like. I've always liked the players. With the Trayvon Diggs, I think it'd be a great addition. And, maybe you can experience with those guys, just not a corner, but just, the playmaking ability of him. And I think that is position you have growing pains. And I think with the Kyle Pitts is a lot more sexy because, look, as we mentioned earlier, The dude is fast. He can strong. He can. Right. People have a hard time covering a guy like that. Linebacker cannot, or safety has a hard time covering someone like him. So it's a position that doesn't show up right away. That, oh yeah, this guy is the reason why we drafted him, because of, you know, because we needed a defensive help. It doesn't show up because it's more of a maturation. There's more of a adjusting to covering these wide receivers, different looks in the National Football League. So Kyle Pitts would be a lot easier decision and something you'd see right away. But in all actuality, the whole the premise of this is to be able to address that. And I really like watching Patrick Surtain play. I think the dude has got a great skill set. He's a smart player, and obviously comes from a team in Alabama and the SEC where they know how to cover and they know how to play defense.
I agree with you. I mean, if the Cowboys just take him at 10, it's still a win. And so that's why, like, you can come up with a number of different scenarios where things work out really well for the Cowboys. That's what happens when you have a top 10 pick. I mean, you're going to walk away ideally with something that you really like, especially in this particular draft where the first 9 picks are all likely going to be offense. And so you're going to have, if you're somebody who's really focused on, I want the Cowboys to get defensive help, I don't want Kyle Pitts, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's going to be a way for them to either get the defensive help you want or an investment in the offensive line by way of one of the tackles in Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And it's not a draft that is rich in defensive linemen. There's a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of, you know, the defensive backs that can help, but it's not really rich in defensive linemen this year like it has in the past.
So last thing, Tony, before we get out of here, we're making trivia time a new thing. Aaron Rodgers is hosting Jeopardy. So NFL, you know,
nice job, by the way.
I agree. He's been great. So we quizzed you on some number related things from your playing days last week. Mm-hmm. So I have a new one for you, a new set of ones rather.
Okay. I'll study for it. Let's go.
All right. You were the second overall pick in the 1986 NFL draft. Everybody knows that. The Cowboys have
Bo Jackson.
Right. Well, so you got that one. But before we do the top 10, the Cowboys obviously have the 10th overall pick this year. Who was the 10th overall pick in the 1986 NFL draft?
Oh, gosh. It was me. Was it Chuck Long?
It was not. He went 12th.
Man, you stumped me. I have no idea. Who was it?
It was a running back. It's your first clue. Obviously, it wasn't Bo Jackson.
Oh, play for the New Orleans Saints?
Might have, but he was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. Keith Byers.
That's correct. Look at you. All right. So
thanks for the clues. You know, if you give me at least get one clue.
Right.
It has been a long-ass time ago, right? So I at least get one clue. And I'm not sitting in front of my computer like you with all the stats and Google on it, all right?
Okay. So I want to see if you can fill out the top 10. So now you know who went number 10.
Full disclosure, there is nothing.
Nothing whatsoever. Tony's not cheating.
I'm not cheating. So you have all the information. Okay. Next question.
I want to fill out the top 10. You know number one, you know number 10, both running backs and Bo Jackson and Keith Byers. You went number 2. You got to nail the team here too. So you can't just get the player. Who went number 3 right after you?
Jim Everett, Los Angeles Rams.
Incorrect. It was Jim Everett, but you've got the team wrong.
Los Angeles. Jim Everett didn't go to the Los Angeles Rams. It wasn't the
actually.
LA Rams.
I'm sorry, you're correct. They traded him, but he was the drafting team was the Houston Oilers. But you get credit. You get credit. That's my bad.
I don't know what the transactions were, but I knew he was up with the Rams. And everyone's bitching because they took a nose tackle, defensive tackle, and they didn't take Jim Everett.
Right. Okay. So you're, I guess, 3 for 3 so far, kind of.
I would say.
Number 4 after Jim Everett.
Oh, gosh.
Your first clue, fellow defensive lineman. Not defensive tackle, but defensive lineman.
Leslie O'Neill.
That is incorrect. That is a top 10 pick, Leslie O'Neill. So that's a future clue.
John Hand.
Okay. And who took him? 4th overall.
Baltimore Colts at the time.
That is correct. No, wait, yeah, they were Indianapolis already at that
point. Oh, they were Indianapolis?
Yeah, they left 3 years earlier.
All right, well, I don't feel that old then. Okay, the Indianapolis
Colts. All right, cool. So you're still good. Number five.
Number five would be, Leslie O'Neal. Fifth pick.
Again, you're still hold on to him for a little bit. That's again a future clue, but it was not him. It was a linebacker. The only linebacker taken in the top 10.
Shane Conlon?
No. He was taken by the St. Louis Cardinals. I know you say you didn't feel old about the Baltimore Colts, but
No. That's old. gosh, linebacker. That's one I don't have familiarity with. I'm drawing a blank. Who was it?
Anthony Bell.
Okay, well,
out of Michigan State.
So. Yeah, it didn't ring a bell. I'm sorry.
okay, number six. This was a guard.
Jim Dombrowski.
To who?
New Orleans Saints.
Look at that. And for bonus points, what school?
University of Virginia.
That's correct. Look at you, Tony. Okay.
Hey, how about that? No Google.
Number seven, another guard.
Oh, you're going to get me on this one. I know that which conference? Give me that clue.
You're saying which NFL conference? The AFC.
Which college conference?
Oh, well, now it's the Big 12. I guess that's kind of a clue.
Offensive guard.
It is very close proximity-wise to where Jim Dombrowski went to school, to give you another clue.
Oh, it's the University of West Virginia, and I know he's a big – Brian Jozwiak?
That's correct. To which team? Which NFL team?
I'm going to say Buffalo Bills.
That is incorrect. You had a cup of coffee with them yourself, I guess is your other clue.
Oh, they went to Kansas City Chiefs.
That's correct. Okay, we're getting through this together. All right.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and tell you this one. Number eight is Leslie O'Neal, but I will ask who took him.
That dude should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That dude was a lot better rookie. His career, especially his rookie year, the dude had, I think he ended up having like 11. He's rookie of the year his first year, had like 11. Over 11 sacks.
That is correct. I mean, not on the nose, but he had 12 and a half sacks his
something
rookie
like that.
Year.
Yeah, he's a baller.
Right. And then he missed the 1987 season due to an injured knee. He only had 4 sacks in 1988, so his first year back. But after that, and he's listed as a right outside linebacker. So obviously, you know, moved around a little bit.
Do you have the stats or does he have? I'm close to 100 career sacks.
So on his career, he has well over 100 career sacks. He has 132 and a half sacks. And to your point,
that's amazing. He should consider the Pro Football Hall of Fame without a doubt.
Agreed. So for like starting in 1989, which was technically y'all's fourth year in the NFL, 12 and a half sacks, 13 and a half sacks, a down year where he had 9. In 1992, he had 17 sacks. Holy crap. 12 in 93, 12 and a half in 94, 12 and a half in 95, and then 7 in 96 when he changed teams. I wonder.
I think along with Derek Thomas, the late Kansas City Chiefs, I think Derek had like six sacks in one game. And I think Leslie had maybe 5. The only two guys that ever done that. And Derek Thomas was an amazing player. He just was gone too soon.
Agreed. For bonus points, the team, the school that Leslie O'Neal came out of and the NFL team that drafted him.
That would be Dyett, Oklahoma, also known as Oklahoma State University.
Right.
And that would be the San Diego Chargers.
I believe that's probably what keeps him out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, that he played for the Chargers in the, you know, early to mid-90s.
Yeah, but look at the stats he put up.
I mean, that's
ridiculous.
But nobody cared about the Chargers then. You know what I mean?
I get that, RJ, but...
No, I'm not saying he shouldn't be in. I'm saying that's why he doesn't get the talk, is because he was on a quiet team.
Well, I know, but someone needs to get on his public, needs to be on his public relations team and start putting stuff on social media that the guy, no one should be out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame that has over almost 140 career sacks.
I agree with
you. It's ridiculous.
Okay, last one here. Number 9 overall, because you got Keith Byers at 10. So who was the 9th overall pick right after Leslie O'Neal before Keith Byers?
That's going to be – it's a quarterback, right?
Incorrect. It is another guard. There were two guards taken before him, so he was the 3rd guard off the board.
Oh God, we did have a lot of that. That's a crazy talking about. I mean, who drafts an offensive guard these days? I mean, that's think about it in the first round. I mean, there hasn't been too many offensive guards taken in the first round. I'm gonna need a clue.
Okay, your clue. You want the school? How about the school? He went to Temple.
Oh, I know who he is, but I'm drawing a blank on him.
I'll give you the NFL team that drafted him were the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, okay. I can as soon as you say the what's this? Give me his first name.
John.
That's not going to do it.
I think I think the last name. I think the last name is pronounced Ryenstra. John Ryenstra from Temple, drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I remember who he was. I remember him playing. But I do not know that.
I did not realize.
But hey, I did okay.
You did. I did not realize that your draft class, 1986, was the same year that Charles Haley was drafted. Friend of the show.
James Madison.
Wow.
Look how that worked out.
Worked out
pretty good for Charles.
What pick was he overall?
He was probably – was he a 9th round pick?
He was not. He was a 4th round pick.
Okay, 4th round pick. I'm going to say he was the San Francisco that year they had – he was probably – because 49ers are pretty good. So I'm going to say he was the 25th pick in the draft.
He was the 96th overall pick in the
draft. Okay, 96. That's what I meant. I was trying to think of the 3rd round. That would be, yeah.
No, yeah, 96. Yeah. You're right. Like he was 25th around that point in that round.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah. Look at you. Next week, we'll see. You did better today than you did last week when we did all the numbers and stuff like that. So,
I appreciate that. The reference and the clues, you did good. You did good, Aaron.
And you educated a lot of people on Leslie O'Neal. People need to know about him.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to just all of a sudden start that campaign because I threw that number out there. I knew he had a lot of sacks, but I didn't realize he had that many. And I never hear his name mentioned. I think he's been nominated.
Right.
But I mean, the dude's long overdue. It's just hard to get in. I mean, even a guy with that many sacks is sitting there and still not in. But hey, I'm going to do better each week. That's going to be my goal each week, to get better for Tony's trivia.
Well done. All right, Tony. Well, that about does it for the latest episode of the 750. We hope everybody enjoyed it. Congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama on winning the Masters. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
So looking forward to some more golf stuff as the season continues to roll on. Everybody have a good week. This was the 750.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.
Support for this show comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the big hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business. removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.